Hello, everyone. This week we are going to be discussing the Kookaburra versus the Duke's Ball. Now, we are recording this on the night that the second round of the Canterbury Championship in the UK is finished, and there's been some enormous scores for what is typically a low-scoring April. Is this purely because of the Kookaburra and its effect in the UK? We're going to discuss. How you doing, Keith?
I'm all good, mate. I'm good. How have you been?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad, to be honest. There's been some enormous scores on the circuit. Have you been paying attention?
I have. Started off last week with Sam Northeast, 3-3-5, was it? That's pretty amazing.
At Lords too. It typically does all sorts at Lords in April. Yeah.
Does all sorts there. I saw Warwickshire this week, 4.90 for 1 on day one.
Question after is, being put in, they got put in.
Yes,
as well.
They did as well. Yeah. Great toss to win. Now, yeah. Like you said, is it the Kookaburra ball or is it the time of year using the Kookaburra ball on these wickets? What do you think?
Oh, this is a huge conversation, and it's got bowlers. I think it's got everyone talking about it, actually. I think there's a lot of people out there saying they don't want to see games that are 600 plays, 600 and shaking hands for a draw. I think people want to see a more even contest. And I think my overall opinion, and obviously we can dig into it more, specifically, but I think it's not a ball that's designed for the UK, fundamentally. I don't know what you think.
I think you need more consistent weather, which doesn't involve rain. Because as soon as there's rain around, from what I've experienced over using the last year or two, is it just becomes like a massive sponge. It just balloons and, all right, it doesn't lose shape, which is, I think, a big reason as to why they're trying to introduce Kookaburra over Dukes, or kind of put Dukes under pressure a little bit. But it just dead ends a game. And obviously, bowlers are going to try and find different ways of getting the ball to do something. But I think most of the game, you didn't really see the ball turn. There was the odd wicket around the circuit that the ball was turning, but there was nothing really for seamers or spinners at a lot of the ground. So I think the ECB have got to come up with a different idea.
Yeah, yeah. So I did a bit of digging. I went on the ECB's website and it talks about how they're going to use Kookaburra for 4 rounds instead of 2 like last year. And they wanted to learn more about what happened with the ball and its how it affected skills such as reverse swing and spin. That should set alarm bells off here because no one has reverse swung a ball in April, I dare say ever. It's just too wet everywhere. You need dry conditions and abrasive conditions to get the ball reverse swinging. Unless you're cheating with sandpaper, and even then it wouldn't work. You need dry conditions. Facts. So it doesn't make sense that they would use the Kookaburra for the first 2 rounds from that reason. And equally, spinners don't typically feature lots at the start of the year either, because again, it's not, the conditions perhaps aren't dry enough and crumbly enough. Albeit down in Cardiff, a friend of ours, Alex Thompson, did get a 10-for. But it does spin down in Cardiff, doesn't it? So that's not necessarily, anything that's going to surprise people. So, yeah, I think the reasoning doesn't quite make sense. But my gut is it's maybe a McCullum and a Stokes thing about how they want to get better playing abroad with a Kookaburra. So they feel like they should be using it more. I dare say that's just a huge part in it.
I get that. I understand as the reason as to why you would do that. And if that's the aim, if they have the say, then they have the say. But I do think the time of year it's been used incorrectly. If you're going to get the most out of that ball, and try and get bowlers to use other skills, reverse swing and whatever else, then give the ball the best chance. and that chance is not in April. It just isn't. And even at Hampshire, our wicket looked pretty good. And there was a lot of chat. If it was a Duke's ball, it had been quite a testing wicket for bat and ball. But just because of the way the cooker was made, it became a bit of a, like I said, dead-end game. So I think that happened across the country a lot. We've had two rounds of games and one result. Yeah, it's not...
Yeah, this latest round in Division 1... No, in fact, including Division 2, every game was a draw. Now, I know that there were weather interruptions. But even so, to have no results is a big deal. In Division 1 specifically, in the five games that were played and the 10 first innings that there were six scores over 400. And nine of those 10 innings were over 300. So it's clearly not doing a lot. And again, this is an April where actually it's rained a lot as well. This is favourable conditions for bowling. Mm. But the scores just aren't reflecting it whatsoever. I mean, we've obviously bowled with a kookaburra, the white kookaburra a lot, and we bowl with a red one a little bit less, but we've got experience with it. What do you think the actual features of the ball are? What makes that ball different to a Duke's?
Obviously, I don't know how the balls are made differently. You can definitely see from the red ball point of view, comparing the Duke's to the kookaburra, there's definitely a difference in colour, a difference when you're shining the ball as well. The Duke's comes up really nice. The kookaburra looks as though it's just got plastic around it. It's hard to really, for me, I find, even though I can swing it quite well, I find it hard to swing the kookaburra. And if you do, it doesn't last for long. And yes, you've got to then find other ways of bowling. But I think I saw this game. If your opening bowler in the first innings is bowling cutters within second spell, that's not a good sign. That's really not a great sign.
Who are you referring to there?
I'm sure it might be, second or third spell. Bailey at Lengths did that. I could be wrong, but I'm sure I did see that. And that's not a great sign because he's a very good bowler. Mm. He shouldn't be having to opt for that choice that early on.
No, well, I thought, let's say we're making this argument. If people were to challenge us here and say, you two are just rubbish and you're medium pace county trumpets. Right. If that was to be the case, bearing in mind the scores that have been in Div 1, some of the bowlers that played this game week, I'm not going to go into all of them either, but Potts, Boland and Cass all played at Edgbaston, where they were put to the sword by Rob Yates and Al Davis. Yeah. So, there's three international bowlers there. Yeah. Two of them, particularly Pacey, and the other is Boland, who's obviously bowled with a kookaburra all his life.
Yeah.
Surrey have rocked up with an attack of Roach, Clark, Atkinson, Overton, which is a good attack by anyone's standards. Yeah. Somerset is a pacey attack. They've got a young guy, Casey Aldridge, someone like Craig Overton, who we've obviously had on the podcast. Yeah. I'm just picking two games there, but there's plenty of great bowling talent and the scores are still inflated. So I don't think it's the bowling stocks are woeful in county cricket or anything like that. This is genuinely a ball that is not designed to be used on soft UK pitches, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I did see something going away from a touch here, but maybe this has something to do with it, is I did hear that Rob Key talked about, it's not always about taking wickets, it's about producing fast bowlers. And maybe that could be another thing. Chances are it's not, but it could be another thing where they're going, let's take away the Dukes a little bit, and you're gonna have to steam in. Lads are gonna actually have to really bend the bike, and that's all good. But when you play as many games as some lads do, chances are they're gonna break down, or they're gonna have to limit their effort basically on trying to get through each game. So I think just the time of year. For me, more importantly, is pick your games, pick your months correctly, Because you know you get your T20 games, but within that, we do have like the odd champ here and there. That's when you want to use it. They did it well last year. I just think they got it wrong, timing wise, anyway.
Yeah, no, I think you're probably right. What I find interesting about it is how I feel like the white Kookaburra is a better cricket ball. Do you know what I mean? I feel like that. You know, when you're playing a 50-over game, for example, that ball seems to stay. Well, it holds its shape a bit better. It feels a bit harder. I don't know if that's the lacquer on a white ball or what. I don't.
Yes, but are you coming from a point of we do use a new ball from either end?
yeah, that's true. Bring that in. Bring that into the championship. Because... what a rule that would be. Let's get pushed for that.
Because I'm just thinking how it used to be when it was just one ball in a 50-over game. That ball would be a dog's toy come 40 odd hours in. So yeah, maybe I do think that the Kookaburra white Kookaburra ball is actually better than the red of doing stuff early on. But just know that 20 to 50 overs is different ball game.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it is interesting. I put down a couple of notes in terms of comparing it to the Duke.
Yeah.
You just touched on it. So it is definitely more red. So, you know, the colour of the Grey Nichols logo that's on the screen?
Yeah.
It's more like that red, whereas a Duke is more of a blood red, isn't it? It's like a darker red. And the seam, would you say, basically the seam is just flatter, wider and flatter?
There's a seam on the Dukes, that's what I'll say.
Yeah. The Dukes has a more pronounced seam for sure.
Honestly, our lads were literally saying the seam on the Kookaburra that they had was within the ball.
Yes, I know what you mean. I remember that from last year. It felt like it had been stitched so tight.
It was lower than the actual ball itself. So that's...
I mean, that's not what you want, is it, as a seam bowler at all?
No. yeah, that's quite worrying.
Harder to shine. The ball is harder to shine. Why is that?
It's harder to shine.
What's the reason? It just is, isn't it? Like, you can't... It doesn't get a slick shine to it. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know what the difference is. I know you can shine a Duke's up well, and you know it's gonna move in the air or something. Mm. But all right, there's Duke's and there's Kookaburra, and I don't know how much it costs to make cricket balls or anything. But if this is going to be an ongoing problem, why don't the ECB try doing their own thing or something? I don't know. Just make your own ball. And then you can dictate exactly how it is, what you want from it, and go from there, rather than waiting on third parties to sort you out.
Yeah. I mean, I do wonder if there's a little bit of politics in it, because do you remember a few years back when they brought the Tiflex in?
Yeah.
And the idea was it was designed to sort of get Dukes to up their game a little bit. They didn't have the monopoly on cricket balls in the UK, because I think the Dukes were going out of shape, weren't they? Is it just that being revisited, or do you think it genuinely is... the cricketing reasons being passed down from the England team?
Not sure. So remember Jeremy Lloyd?
Yeah. Umpire. Yeah.
I remember years ago I was playing at Sussex and he was saying the worst thing that the ECB could have done is stop Tiflex in Division 2. Because Jeremy Lloyd was supposedly knew the owner of Dukes quite well and said, he's a type of guy, if there's no competition for him, he'll just start using cheaper leather and you won't have the consistency. Those were his words quite a long time ago. Obviously, Tiflex haven't been in the county circuit for a while, but it was as soon as they took them out. So I'm guessing it was like seven, eight, 9 years ago. And I would say there's definitely been a decline on how good those balls are. And for them to come out and say they're just happy that they can produce cricket balls. Really? Like, I don't know. I don't know what to believe. But all I know is that their balls are not as good as what they used to be. And maybe they've just not had any pressure, so they haven't needed to do anything different. So hopefully this makes a difference, because a Duke's ball at its best is very good to bowl with, and it does test the batsman. And actually, Alfonso Thomas, I don't know if you saw this, he got asked on the Foxy's website, I think it was, what his thoughts were on the cricket ball. And he just basically said, well, in his eyes, if you had a Chris Rushworth playing, if you had him with the Dukes and the touring team came over here, he would cause problems and he'd pick up quite a few wickets. Where if you were to do it the other way around, where he thinks the Kookaburra is making average batters look better than what they are, if they were to go over to an Australia, they would not be scoring the same runs they are here. So they'd be a bit more exposed to being bang average. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, to be fair, he's probably right. So, yeah, I mean, here you go. Here's a good example. So Matthew Potts, who is hopefully a future guest on the podcast, we've got to tap him up through our mate Callum Parkinson. He got his first century this week at Edgbaston.
Did he actually?
He's been maiden century. Yeah, yes. He put the Warwickshire bowlers to the sword by the looks of it. So, I think Fonz is right. He's spot on. And there's a guy who's used both balls. He knows that. Fonz is great because he knows how to use, he's got lots of knowledge. He knows how to use both balls. So his opinion, I think, is particularly valid. He was of the view that with a Kookaburra, you shouldn't bowl so much wobble seam. He thought you had to try and present the seam more with a Kookaburra, particularly early on. Whereas the Duke, obviously, with a slightly more pronounced seam, you can bowl a lot more wobble seam or whatever, three-quarter seam, whatever you want to call it. I think he's right. I think ultimately the conditions here, the reason the Kookaburra works so well in Australia, I think, and South Africa, is because the wickets are pacier and bouncier. And it's less about sideways movement. It's more about pace and bounce. That's the game. But they're the things that make, in my opinion, the thing that makes cricket great in the UK is the movement on the ball. And the fact that there's lots of movement available for bowlers, but equally batters get rewarded really well for overcoming it, because they get good value for runs in the UK more than anywhere else. But balls race off to small boundaries across big squares. Whereas in Australia, for example, what makes Australian cricket great, in my opinion, is that extra bit of pace and bounce that makes people uncomfortable. It tests you on the back foot. It's a bit more attritional. You need to have amazing basics because it's unforgiving. The climate's warmer, wickets are harder, flatter. And that's what makes that special. In the same way as the turning conditions make Indian cricket so amazing. Going there is hard. So a part of me is like, it should be hard to go overseas and win a test tour.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean if you can't, that you have to fiddle with your domestic game. Yeah. I don't think. I think there's got to be a slight... Maybe I'm being a bit sentimental. I don't know.
I mean, I know you mentioned about, obviously, maybe it's from the top of within England that they think they need to change the balls over here. I can understand that to an extent, but thinking about it, it's not as though all these England lads play much county cricket. So it's not as though they're coming in playing six, seven games and like, I'm getting ready for the next test match that's coming up. You don't feature. You don't really look to play much county cricket. So maybe you just need to use Kookaburras in your nets more when you practice, when you're going away, before you go away, rather than doing whatever it is you do. Maybe they do, but there's not many people that it's changing for here, really, in my eyes.
No, I mean, and you know what? Okay, so that there could be this argument of we want to use the Kookaburra because we want to kill off the county seamer that bowls between 78 and 83 miles an hour, right?
They want to kill us off, mate. They want to kill us off.
They want to produce lots of quick bowlers. I'm like, you've already got lots of quick bowlers.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's pace in the UK game now. Like, you know, obviously archers, the issue is keeping these guys fit because we play so much. England could field a test match, right? And they could have Archer, Wood, Atkinson, Bashir, and Rahan Ahmed. So you've got leg spin, off spin, and three bowlers at 90 mile an hour plus. So they can't be that short pace.
Jamie Overton into that as well.
Another 100%, mate. I've literally probably forgotten. I've probably forgotten between five and ten more blokes that bowl quick.
Ollie Stone, there are others around, mate. Yeah, totally agree.
There's lots of bowlers I try and avoid facing on the regular. Right? So the game is there. I don't get it. I find it quite frustrating, actually. Yeah, because it does probably come down more to volume of cricket. Like, you could potentially, don't get me wrong, I'm not someone who wants to play less cricket. I love playing cricket, right? But if there were half the games in the championship, well, you would see bowlers running in harder, wouldn't you, and bowling quicker. Yeah. Because they're going to be fresher. Bottom line, I don't necessarily think a ball is doing anything. Do you know what I mean?
This is the thing, though, is when they want to play more games because it can bring in more revenue, but then they want quicker bowlers to be coming through, but then the bowlers can't do it because they'll break. It's like, you can't have your cake and eat it. Pick one. You have to pick one and be happy with it. You play more games and potentially make more money. That's fine. But then you can't, like, and now this is what I feel like they're having to do, is, which kind of is happening with the John Turner at the moment, kind of going away from ball side of stuff. But
no, this is great.
It's almost like they are going, well, this lad, John Turner, is a great example. He's bowling quick. Let's get him out of the system now and kind of get him within the England setup and whatever else. To make sure he doesn't then become a bowler that bowls mid to lower 80s, because he's having to do that to get through a season. And that's the only way I think they can look at doing it now, because as soon as you get some bowlers who play 2 or 3 years and realise, I can't keep running in like this, or else I've already broken, I've already had a stress fracture, I don't want another one, then bowlers start to just rein it in a little bit. And that's just the way it is. It's not easy, especially when they had Anderson and Broad for so long. They've got two bowlers that are not moving. You chuck Walks in there as well, who are not going to be moving around much. So everyone's fighting for one spot. But it's almost like, well, if I can't, I need to make sure I've got a career, because we don't get paid loads of money. We all wish we were, unless you played international. Or you're
some more than others.
Or you're a franchise player, whatever. But you know, people got mortgages, they've got people's houses to, sorry, families to feed and everything like that. So that comes into it as well, where you got, I could try and push myself, but if this doesn't work out or I get another stressy or whatever, am I going to get another contract? Am I going to be able to play cricket? Probably not. They don't know. So it then sticks in the back of the mind of, well, if I can operate at 80% and keep getting a contract, then so be it.
Yeah, it's such a tricky dilemma. So we had a podcast as well, didn't we, a few weeks ago with Kyle Abbott, your teammate, and he was talking about the Duke ball. When it reversed more. Do you remember him saying that?
Yeah.
And so, for example, let's take Pakistan. They produce heaps of rapid bowlers. Mm. I don't know what ball they use domestically. Do they use...
I'm not sure, actually.
We need to find out, really. I don't know if they use a ball like they use in India, the SS ball or something like that. But that's more like a Duke than it is a Kookaburra. Mm. In fact, Dale Steyn said that a week ago, didn't he? Do you remember? He said, in the UK, you try and swing the Duke, but the SS ball in India was very similar, but yet you tried to reverse that. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're countries that produce quick bowlers but don't use a Kookaburra. But they bowl, like in Pakistan in particular, the wickets are so flat, you have to bowl rapid and do something in the air.
Mm.
Unless you're Mohammed Abbas, in which case you just... You know what I mean? I find the chat, it's a really tricky one, because I'm trying not to sound like a county trundler. I'm trying to be logical about it. But I think we've come up with a logical argument. For why probably shouldn't mess with it. Or at least if they do use the kookaburra, it should be more towards the back end of the summer.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's probably the main thing. I don't mind them bringing it in. It's just think about when you're trying to use it, because like April, it's never working in April for any. It's not working for anyone. And it'd be interesting, we haven't looked, but it'd be interesting to see the results from last year when they played the games, middle of the season, to this. There was one game out of two that was, one game out of the 10 games that have been played, or however many games it's been played. Whereas last year, it was, I remember us winning I think we beat Middlesex at home with a kookaburra, and then we almost lost to Somerset. So there's two results there within the two games where, you know, it was competitive, it was tough, it wasn't easy for bowlers, batters were scoring runs, but there was still a chance of getting it to reverse.
Mm. Yeah, no, sure. This episode is brought to you in association with Grey Nichols.
Now, guys and girls, I've used Grey Nichols since I could barely walk. For me, best hit out there. I've used it all my life, bar one trialist game when I was coming back into the game. By far the best bats, by far the best pads, gloves, kit, everything. Definitely got to use it if you get the chance. If you haven't, find your nearest shop or get online and order.
Now, if you want to get your Grey Nichols kit sorted, we have a discount code, which you can see at the bottom of the screen if you're watching on YouTube. And if you're listening, it'll be in the show notes. Okay, Keith, back on to the kookaburra stuff. I do think there is a little fundamental thing which I forgot to mention. And I think that actually the grounds themselves, and not just the pitch, but because you get such good value for runs, when you add in a ball that plays on the flat side, it kind of skews it a bit too much in favour of the batter. That's kind of my thing. So it might not even be about the pitches so much, just the fact that you've got small grounds, quick outfields, big squares, lots of value that kind of further exaggerates the scores.
I did hear that, I know I mentioned how Warwickshire scored 490 in a day with one wicket down. I did hear that they had a very short boundary one side, almost just over 30 metres. Which I think they had to get permission for by the ECB, supposedly. So that's even more soul destroying as a bowler. It almost becomes like you're in a T20 game. I've got a ball either down the arse one side or wide of off stump to not get hit that side. Pretty painful.
Yeah. Well, that's county cricket, right? That's what we play across the square and across all the pitches on a square over the year. Whereas in Australia, certainly, I don't know so much about South Africa, but they'll play on a drop-in pitch that's put in the middle perfectly of a big stadium, which kind of, again, keeps it pretty fair. Whereas, like you say, in the UK, you know, Edgbaston this week, you've got a 30-yard boundary. Grace Road is typically always quite small towards the meet for our first few rounds of championship games. And it's hard to defend. Let alone if you play with a ball that's not doing a lot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's a big factor. So is it a bad ball in general, Keith? What's your view? Or do you think it's a good ball just used at the wrong time?
I think it's an okay ball used at the wrong time of the year. I think a lot of bowlers will want to try and get it reversing. Nothing wrong with that, but you've got to give the bowlers something to work with. You have to, or else it becomes a bit silly. I think there's nothing wrong with batters scoring runs, but it's been known for years that April is actually quite difficult for batters, and so it should be. The conditions don't suit batters. That's fine. If they pick the runs up normally, as the wickets get flatter and, you know, the weather's better, so all you're going to see is some batters to end up with 1,200-1,300 runs because they've had a great head start. So they should go on and score runs. But I'd say, yeah, I know it's an all right ball, but you have to be able to get the ball to do something. And the right time of year is really important. Question for you. Field position-wise, what would you look to do with the ball if it's not doing anything on a flat surface? What would your field position be? I'm going to guess you're going to feel as being more towards the leg side.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know me, Keith. I am quite stubborn, though. So I find it hard.
You just keep trying to swing it away.
I keep trying to bowl as quick as I can at top of off. I think what you've seen quite quickly is people have gone away from three slips, haven't they? And they've ended up with a fine leg, deep square, catch a mid wicket and a mid on, which is perfectly logical to me. I'm not such a fan. You know what? Actually, I think that's one of the worst field positions in the world. And this is for a seamer, is someone on the drive on the offside. I hate that. I hate it. But yeah, I've seen that a fair bit. But yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anyone get caught there in a professional game. Genuinely can't remember. I can remember lots of caught mid wicket where batsmen play it quite instinctively, maybe get a bit sloppy. But I can't remember anyone blazing one to a short extra cover ever. Yeah, it seems to still crop up.
Yeah.
Actually, I've got you out there. I've got you caught cover. Leading edge.
Oh, God. No. Yeah, that was an iron. I was looking to take you down as well. I was like, I could
get you were trying to get your shovel on, weren't you? Yeah. Oh, dear.
I'll never leave that down. I've still got a ball against you, or else it's going to ruin me that you and Clark, you've got, and Stoney have got me out, and I've not got anyone out.
Has Stoney got you out?
Yeah, LB going way down leg.
Oh, amazing.
But he's...
Fletch has got you out as well, hasn't he, a few times?
Yeah, he has, actually. He got me out. He nicked me off. He's nicked me off.
He's got you out seven times.
Yeah, shit. Six, wasn't it? Six.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. That made me laugh when we put that clip out on Instagram where Fletch was talking about, we didn't put anyone's name in there, but it was like about how the bloke he got out all the time had a huge pad and he used to blow it off, and then Chops messaged us and he was like, that's me.
I knew it was him. So, like, for me, I'll talk about from my field positions. If the ball's dead, my only mode of dismissal is probably caught mid wicket, and I'd almost, if I'm bowling at a right hander, I'm always going to come round, especially if the ball's not moving at all, and I would literally pack the leg side as much as I could. I have a deep square, fine leg, but then I do like some funky fields. I do like a squarish catching mid wicket, a straight catching mid wicket, and then someone just lurking a little bit mid wicket with a mid arm. Yeah, just like, well, I'm angling it in at the stumps anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not obviously going to have a slip because what's the point? Just trying different stuff.
This is cool. I feel like I'm. So I agree with everything you're saying. But for me, I like to try and – I almost like to invite the batter to try and hit – I want to try and bolt off stump, but I want them to try and get me through the offside and almost do them on the inside. So I tend to try and stick with a 5-4 offside if I can. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm.
Say that again, mate.
You try and force them to hit through the offside.
No, so, for example, I quite like to come a little more mid-crease, stick with an angle in, so I'm angling it into off-stump still, maybe reversing it in.
Yeah.
And I'm backing myself to bowl as tight, but still inviting... I don't want to say inviting a drive, but do you know what I mean? I want the batsman to feel like they can somehow try and get it through the offside, but that's how I'm going to get them out. Do you know what I mean?
You're on about with a ball potentially reversing. I'm on about a ball doing nothing.
Oh, you got to use a short ball.
I'm talking Kookaburra in April, mate. Doing nothing.
Yeah, bleak. I don't really know. Hopefully they've changed the rules by next April. But I think you've got to use, you're a, well, yeah, use your short ball, I suppose. But that's not easy because if the ball's soft,
just
because that's what. Yeah, I'm not sure it's that solvable. Well, clearly there's not loads of bowlers who know what to do because of the scores.
Would
you know what I mean?
Going back to the old ball talk, would you encourage to try and get Tiflex involved again? No. Are they even around? I don't even know.
I don't know if they're... I think they might be. I think they might still be around. I mean, they were like a Duke... Well, let's be honest. They were they had a big seam on them. They weren't as nice a ball as a Duke. I don't think.
I never played Div 2, really, mate.
So. Yeah. You know what? I didn't... I'm more of a swing bowler and a seam bowler, so they didn't... I would prefer to bowl with a Duke. If you offered me a Tiflex or a Duke, I'd still pick a Duke.
Yeah.
But what you found there were seam bowlers. Like, obviously, I was at Essex when they had Tiflex, and Dave Masters cleaned up.
Really?
Yeah, that was... You know how Fon... I'm not saying Dave Masters here. Dave Masters was a jet. But you know how Fon's said about the Kookaburra making some average batters look good?
Yeah.
The Tiflex made some average bowlers look good. 100%. Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there was one or two on the circuit who got some big money moves off the back of some wickets with a Tiflex, and then they sort of couldn't replicate it with a Jukes because they sort of took them out of the game, the Tiflex. I don't know why they took Tiflex out. Maybe they just thought it seemed too much. But
I think that was, from what I remember, it was a little bit to do with. Seemed a bit ridiculous for batters to face a bit.
I think it's all Rob Key. I remember Rob Key used to have nightmares about Dave Masters. We used to play every year, we'd play against Kent, and Key would have a different way of playing Dave Masters, and none of them worked. So one year he would be like deep in his crease, trying to stay leg side of it. Then one year he'd like track him, go down the pitch and try and hit him on the leg side. Then Foster would come up to the stumps, and then it was just like, yeah, it was mental.
Maybe this is payback. Maybe he's looking at, right, you doubled as I struggled with Masters. I'm trying to get all you lot out.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
That's the game. Yeah, I would, I don't mind, going back to it, I don't mind cooking my ball, but I think my career might be shortened.
With a Kookaburra.
Yeah. I think my career might be a bit shorter. I think my body would break trying to push it too hard to try and get it down there quicker.
Well, I think that's the ultimately your environment makes you what you are and who you are. So you wouldn't be the same Keith with a Kookaburra.
No.
Do you know what I mean? You'd have bowled differently years ago. Like you bowl well with a white Kookaburra.
Yeah, I just
found a way.
Flinging it down there just with a terrible action.
Maybe, 100%. That's it. Like, I have to say, that's one thing I do like about the Kookaburra is it, in Australia in particular, it produces some good athletes on the bowling side. Like, if you look at the Aussie test bowlers, they're all mega athletes, aren't they? Like Cummins, Hazelwood and Stark. You look at them, they're like big guys, strong. I mean, how they, I mean, along with Lyon, they're like, oh, to be fair, they've got all rounders now, haven't they? But there was a period where it was literally just three of them rotating and then Lyon from one end.
Yeah.
In Test cricket as well, they must have been blowing.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I think obviously they do produce some big, strong bowlers, and maybe it is because they couldn't do anything with the ball. So they just had to learn to bowl as quick as possible. And obviously, it's like a start. They can still swing it, but the main thing was probably like, I need to get it down there quick. So maybe this will promote youngsters to just keep trying to bowl as quick as you can. And I think we all want to bowl as quick as we can. It's just once you get to a certain level, before that international level, you realise that you just can't do it game in, game out.
Yeah, there's a balance, isn't there? There's definitely a balance. I think you say things like going through the gears and that sort of thing become a factor for sure. How are we doing there? Are we?
I think that's us, mate. I think that's been a long enough chat about Kookaburra and Jukes. It'd be interesting to see over the next four or five champions that are left before T20s, if the tables turn or not, I think they will. And this one other thing I would say is, most of the time when I've seen wickets being prepped for the start of the season, they're actually very, the wickets are actually very good, because the grounds, I know it's wet building up to it, but the grounds have, that's, they have the most time to prep that wicket. So actually, the wickets are getting better and better in April compared to probably what they were 15, 20 years ago. So yeah.
Agree. It'll be interesting. And also, the weather is only going to get better because it's rained so much. So if the wickets and the weather get better in the next week or so and the scores get lower, then that'll be quite an interesting interesting thing to look at.
One other thing, actually, before we go, just thinking, every time a ball gets changed, a Duke's ball, can't be used again. Obviously, that means more balls are having to be purchased. I wonder if it's a bit of a cost-cutting thing of, let's just get a ball that actually doesn't need changing all the time.
Oh, and do you know how much a kookaburra costs?
No.
Mate, I'm pretty sure they're like £90 a ball.
Dukes are quite expensive as well, though, aren't they?
I think, because I remember looking at it maybe last year or the year before. I'm pretty sure it's like 90 quid a ball. I'm pretty sure it's more expensive than a Duke, a kookaburra. Having said that, like you say, they don't replace them as much.
Mm. And one thing I would like to add to this is umpires have got to stop forcing balls through the ring to not have to change them. That's not on. You can't have a ball looking like an actual egg and then go, right, yeah, it's not gone through that way, but if I turn it a certain angle and push it down, yeah, it's gone through, so we're going to carry on changing, carry on playing, just because we've changed the ball four times already in 50 overs.
No, that's fair enough. One last thing, actually. What have you seen Bassey? And what's he said about the kookaburra?
Yeah, well, I've been injured, haven't I? So I haven't seen him much. He's probably not been too happy. He's probably not bowled as well as he'd like. So, but it's his first game back. So I'll chat to him about it and see what he has to say. Because obviously, the first round, it was a washout at Durham. So he's only played one game.
Yeah. Actually, that really killed me. I had my team on that cricket draft app. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to pick some guests. So I had Abbo in my team.
Yeah.
And all 4 days washed out. Devastating. but I reckon him and Bassett will be looking to cash in round three with a Duke, won't they?
Yeah. Oh, Warwickshire it is as well.
Is it? Edgbaston or Rose?
Utility.
What do you call it? The utility ball.
No, it's not the. It's utility ball.
What?
But you can't say it without
the Rose Bowl. I'm only ever going to call it the Rose Bowl.
Well, it's utility ball now. Just
okay.
Get it right, yeah.
I will. I'll remember that for future episodes. All right. Well, let's wrap it up there, shall we?
Yeah.
Exciting future guests. Should we be talking about future guests or not? Or is that maybe promising stuff that we might not be able to deliver?
Let's keep it under wraps for now.
Can we give a clue that we might delve into the murky, weird world of spin? That's what
that can be known. Yeah. We'll be discussing a little bit of spin. I think we'll have an interesting character on soon.
Yeah.
Which might open the door the way to open to talk to other spinners. Which will be exciting if we do. Let's see how it goes. See if it's a good episode to listen to.
Right. Take it easy, Keith.